Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church, and I'm excited for you to be joining us on the study of the book of Colossians. May the Lord bless and challenge you as we seek to know the Master so that we can live His mission.
This is day 31 of your new life. Today's title is Put Away the Old Self. Edward Schweizer said, "In baptism, the old Adam is indeed drowned, but the scoundrel can still swim." John Phillips said, "The old nature remains, however. God does not convert it or condone it. He crucifies it." Our text today is Colossians 3, verses 5 through 8. "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth." There is an epic battle going on every day in the unseen realm. It is a battle that exists between the flesh and the spirit. As the new nature is made alive in us, the old nature wants to rise up from the dead. The believer must put to death what is earthly. The verb "put to death" means to make as dead, to subdue, or to deaden. This verb is an imperative, which means it is a command. God has given us a command to conquer that which is fleshly in our old nature. The tense of this verb should also be noted. It occurs here in the aorist tense. Aorist tense in Greek refers to something completed once and for all in the past that carries implications into the present. We have to bury some things for good, so that we can live for Jesus Christ. Charles Swindoll's commentary adds great insight into these verses of Scripture. Paul gives us a handful of things we need to lay aside as we pursue a life that reflects the things above. These sinful attitudes and actions will be the cause of God's wrath coming upon this world, so they have no place in the lives of believers destined for eternity with Him. They are, and should continue to be, things of our past, things we once practiced but have abandoned for the sake of conformity to Christ. We can categorize these attitudes and actions into three groups. First, Paul tells us to get rid of sensuality. This group of behaviors includes four practices that we are to consider our bodies to be dead to: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, and evil desire. The term immorality is a translation of the Greek word porneia. Porneia is a general term for sexual immorality of any kind, including premarital and extramarital physical relations, prostitution, and homosexuality. Impurity refers to anything that is unclean, unwholesome, and corrupting. This includes anything that pollutes our minds, especially inappropriate or suggestive images. Passion and evil desire have to do with dwelling over immoral or impure things, coddling unwholesome desires, obsessing over illicit cravings, and longing for things that are forbidden to Christians. These sensual thoughts and behaviors are disastrous to a healthy Christian life. We can't even tinker or toy with these things. We can't dabble in these things and hope to remain untainted. There's only one stance a Christian should take with sensual things: consider himself or herself dead to them. You may have heard the saying, "He's dead to me," referring to a complete and total break in a relationship with someone. Paul urges believers to make this kind of break with sensual things. Second, Paul tells us to get rid of materialism. This includes greed and idolatry. The first relates to inner motivation, the second to outer manifestation. Greed is the driving desire to have more and more and more, a desire that can never be satisfied. If you let greed get a foothold, it won't be long before you're worshiping and serving the very things you thought would satisfy you. Richard Foster pulls no punches when he writes, "Compulsive extravagance is a modern mania. The contemporary lust for more, more, more is clearly psychotic. It has completely lost touch with reality." That's the world in which we live. Enough is never enough. A promotion is never high enough. A salary is never large enough. Things are never plentiful enough. So we end up worshiping those things that utterly fail to bring us lasting contentment or pleasure. We are a very spoiled people, and very deceived. The more we have, the more we want. We need to get rid of such out-of-control materialism. Third, Paul tells us to get rid of negative emotions. This includes anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. In short, we need to set aside uncontrolled negative emotions. And this involves not only the sudden angry outbursts in which we lose our cool and say things that shouldn't be said, but also the long, quiet, stewing, seething, lingering bitterness that devours us from within. Christians seeking to live a new life in Christ need to stop the habits of uncontrolled temper, fits of rage, verbal abuse, malicious behavior, and hurtful, deceptive speech. Isn't it interesting that Paul writes these things to Christians? It's easy for us to think that we who have accepted Christ as Savior, who have the Spirit living within us, will be free from negative emotions. But let me tell you, some of the harshest, angriest, and most insulting letters I've ever received have come from fellow Christians. The ugliest words ever said to my face came from so-called brothers and sisters in Christ. Our spiritual life coach, the Apostle Paul, says, "Put them all aside, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices." These things should be in our past, not in our present, and certainly not in our future. Some questions to consider. What areas are the hardest for you to put away of your old nature? Read Romans 6, 5-11. "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." How do these verses compare with Colossians 3, 5-8? Join me in prayer. Lord, show us our old selves clearly so we can know when we're not living into your resurrection, and give us the knowledge and ability to put away that old self. In your name we pray. Amen.